are your prayers. I'd like to look at a scripture in 147th Psalm. I love the Lord this morning. I am so thankful to be saved. And as I look at the troubles and all the things that's out into the world, Sister Roberta was talking about folks that's made their ways to the jails and those kind of places. Well, I imagine it was only by the grace of God that I'm not there too. And you don't know what you'd do in desperation. And I appreciate the Lord that He made a way for me to be saved and that I could live the kind of life that I live. I'm so glad. I told somebody recently I'll be 47 this July. And if the Lord takes me now, I'd have to say I've lived a good life. I have been so blessed in my life to be able to live for the Lord. And I appreciate Him. And I know that it's impossible to repay the Lord. It's just too much to pay back. But we all want to try, don't we? Don't we want to try to say to the Lord, well, I can't pay you, but I'll pay you what I can. I'll do for you what I can. Well, in this 147th Psalm, in the 10th verse, it says, He delighteth not in the strength of horse. In the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. Well, that immediately says to me then, if he doesn't delight in the strength of the horse, he must delight in something. There'd be no reason to say it. There's a given there. Lord delights in something. And this is I believe, a military term. It's talking about armies and those kind of things. And looking at the way people look at things, the writing here says the Lord don't delight in that. Men do. Men do. I think about, it's always been fascinating to men, large numbers of things. And strength. The strength of the horse, for instance. The horse was used because of its strength. I think my history is not real good right now, but just in my mind, I think it was Cortez or one of those Spanish guys. When he went into the Incas, one of the great things that he had was a horse. They had horses with armor plating on. They had them, and they took it. Well, it was just totally fascinating that those people didn't have anything like that. And it was a great implement of war to have horses and the strength of that horse. And they would get horses and chariots, and then they put it in, them flying loosely didn't mean anything, but they put them in order. They regimented them in order, and it became a great scene. One of awe to ancient people. Well, even into our modern time it was used, and I remember seeing films and clips of Hitler's armies, and Hitler amassed a great, great force of millions of men and thousands and thousands of tanks. And he liked to show that early in the 1930s. He was building up this war machine, and he would amass these, and the populace would come out and look, and they would stand in awe of column after column of tanks rolling by. Columns after columns. Columns after columns. Then marching men would come in perfect unison, stepping along, turning at the same time, going along. They was trained. And people looked at it and no doubt to their, they was an awe at that. And not only awe, but it means something if that's your army. It would have been one thing if it was somebody else's, but this is our, protection. This is our conquering ability. This is what is ours to do this. And many people, I've seen films of it where many people saluted. Others, old men, would tears would come down their eyes as they looked and seen this. It was something that was touching to them to have that kind of a power. I mean, look at things like that. But it said God didn't. God don't delight in those kind of things. And it says that he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. Again, it's talking about marching men and their abilities to do that, and the awe and respect that people would get from the great numbers and the fighting ability and how far, and it speaks of human ability, what a man can do, what he can accomplish, how strong he is, how far he can go, and what it takes for him to get something in this world. That's what it says. But God don't have no pleasure in it. Men put importance in all kind of things. Some people, and especially of past ages, I suppose, maybe they still do it, but it used to be very important to religious people to honor God with a building. That's what the great cathedrals are about. They said, our God is so mighty, he's so wonderful, he's so awesome that it would take something to try to represent. And I can see the thinking of that, but we're going to have to try to be, in other words, the cathedrals many times was the most outstanding building of the city. They also took and got the great architects of their days to come in and build these that they wasn't plain. No disrespect, but this is just a plain building, pretty much. It's not any spectacular than anything else, but a lot of people didn't think of things that way. They made great spirals and arches and towering piers and things that would bring attention and say that if this is God's, then God must be great. That kind of a thing. And they got the great artists of the day to come in. Many times, I think the famous painting of the Sistine Chapel was done by Michelangelo, and he done it. It was a religious purpose. They got him to put the mural on there. He was an accomplished, great artist, and they done that because they was trying to say that God was in this. And men have done that, and even today, the great big mega churches are making a statement of something. But the Scripture says that God takes no delight in the strength of the horse or in the legs of a man. So, you know, we can put our efforts and energies into a lot of things. But Lord, help us that we have it in the right place. People put great emphasis and ideas, and they get great pleasure and great delight out of all kind of things. We mentioned the other day football teams and baseball teams and all these kind of things, and they look at it and the great athletes are greatly admired and delighted at because of what they can do. But don't make a mistake of thinking God does. Because he doesn't. Nebuchadnezzar was a great Babylonian king. And in his time, there was no one like him. Or I say there was nothing like his kingdom that had ever been before. He had done wondrous things in the world. You can still read about historically of what they called the eighth wonder of the world was the hanging gardens of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had a wife, the history goes, that was from another land, and she was lonely for that land, so he made the gardens to represent her land, and they piped, even in that ancient day, they piped water in, and they had these hanging gardens that was supposedly just splendid. I doubt if God was impressed with that. But beings that he made it all anyway. Done all of that, but Nebuchadnezzar, if you'll remember, when he looked at it all, now I'm going to tell you he was impressed. Nebuchadnezzar was greatly impressed with what he said his hands had done. His hands literally didn't do it. His mind had done, he had done it, but he was saying, look what I'm responsible for. What a great man I am. But God was displeased with that. God had placed Nebuchadnezzar in his time in the world, put him in that place, didn't he? And Nebuchadnezzar rises up and said, look at this, the greatness of my kingdom. look how great I am. Well, the Lord said to him that you know that there's a God in heaven. I'm going to show you who rules in these things. And Nebuchadnezzar ended up basically like he lost his mind. He was out in the field like he was an ox. For about 7 years he was out there like an animal, and his hair grew as feathers, and his fingernails like claws, and he was like a beast in the field. Until he knew that there was a God that reigned in heaven. You can't keep your own mind, folks. You don't own your own breath. It's God's. It's all God's. But I'm thinking this morning about, this just amazed me as I thought about it, that in all of God's greatness, and I'd like to challenge you this morning to just think about it, how great He is. We don't see hardly anything of what He's done. Our understanding is so limited. Man don't even know what's on the bottom of the ocean. There's places that's so deep that pressure forbids men down there. God made it that way. But God knows what. Do you know there's creatures that live down there? As far as they can get down there, there's creatures for in some way or another can deal with the pressures that's down there and can live down in those kind of places. It's just amazing to me that it happens, but God made it to be. And so we're so limited in what God has done in space and in time and in all the things that He's done, we don't really even know. And to think of the greatness of God, and that I can cause Him to be delighted. Isn't that something to think about? That you talk about popularity and you talk about what would it be something to get a shake the hand of the president today? Would that be something that you'd walk to the end of the parking lot to do? Or would you be, if the Queen of England would you say hi to, is those kind of things? Do you know that's so trivial? But for me to think that there's something that I could do that would cause God delight, it's just amazing to me. I love the Lord this morning, and I think if you love the Lord, you would want to make Him smile today, wouldn't you? Don't you want to make the ones you love smile? Don't you like to, you've got children, don't you like to do the, I just love it. I love to do the little things that I know my children just get a little kick out of, and you might not like it at all, but my children do. And so I like to do things that gives them that little smile, that little laugh, and makes them to have a light. Don't you like those kind of things? I like to see them delighted. I like to do those kind of things. Do you know that God can be delighted? He can. The Scripture says that He don't delight in the things that people do, that people think of, that they awe at, and they get excited about and make big things out of. God ain't excited about that. But it does tell us something here in this. It says in the 11th verse, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. All right? You know God takes pleasure in that? He must be pretty displeased about right now for this country, because there's not a whole lot of fear of God left around. But He takes pleasure in them that fear Him. What does it mean to you to fear God? I'm going to tell you what it means to me. As I think about the idea of fearing God, the respect, the honor, fear. I don't want to be found in His displeasure. And what does it say? Do you know that we say something with our lives? We really do. We speak with our... Everything we do speaks of our lives. We come back from the Holly Hill meeting, and we stopped at the Walmart. Was in the Walmart, and a young man... I had noticed him looking at us a few times. I didn't know what he was thinking or anything, but he ended up coming up to me, and he said, you go to church, don't you? And now... I didn't say I went to church. Wasn't no sign on me. And I didn't make no proclamations. Hey, Walmart, I go to church. This guy come in and looked and said, we spoke something to him. It wasn't intentional. You speak things with your life. You say things. We come in saying, we go to church. We just look that way. And so he comes up and says, you go to church, don't you? And I said, well, yes, we do. And he said, I thought so by the way you was dressed. And he said, I think the way people dress says a lot about them. And I said, well, I do too. I do too. But you say something with everything you do. With everything you do. You say how much you fear God by what you're willing to listen to. Do you know that? You really do. There's all kind of musics and entertainments and things out there in the world, and you say something by the fear, how much you fear the God by what you allow into your life. It's a statement that you're making. Saying it to the world. You're saying it to those that know, that those that are around you. You're saying just how cautious I am, how much I'm really fearing the God, how much I'm really believing that He's looking down and seeing my life. What we're really talking about today is a God that is absolutely awesome, magnificent, great. And the pleasure that He gets is when we acknowledge that and say with our lives who He is. We acknowledge always. It delights Him to be who He is to people. All that God wants is to be known for who He really is. It don't need anything else. God don't need all the exteriors that man does. He don't put on a show for anything. All He's got to do is allow it to come into the consciousness of a man of who he really is, and that's enough. It's more than enough. It's more than takes us into, if you want to call it entertainment, it's all the entertainment you ever want. All the ever higher thinking you ever need is in God. Oh, if you want to meditate on something that'll run you out real quick, if you want to be challenged by thinking, you just try to, you come back next year at this camp meeting and tell us that you know it all. Well, it's limitless. It's limitless. And God is great, and what the Lord is pleased by is when people fear Him. The fear, oh Lord, help us to fear You more. Because fear causes us to respond in certain ways. If I fear God, then I'm going to watch what I say. Yeah, I'm going to watch what I say. Why? Because I fear the Lord. And what am I saying then when I fear saying that I watch what I say? Why is He so careful to say that? Because God is awesome. Power. He's awesome in holiness. You know God, the Holy God? He also said that the Lord's holy and we got to be holy. And I fear the idea of that. I fear that idea. That's a holy God. Are we going to be able to just flippantly come in before God? I don't believe so. I don't think we just fall into heaven. I think there's an effort put out into it. There's a fear that we would fear God. And you know the Scripture says that He delighteth. How does it say it? The Lord taketh pleasure. Do you know He's actually pleased today when your moments are dictated by the fear of God? It brings a pleasure to God's heart to see someone come up to decision times and there's a decision to be made, and because they fear God, they make a decision. Not because of the things that they want in this world or the lust of the flesh or anything like that, but when decision time comes and they say, I'm going to be careful because I fear God. Do you know God's pleased with that? Because it makes a statement of the awesomeness of God to the world. When you and I go out into this world and people can obviously look at us and say, there's somebody that is a religious person that believes in God, it's right that it be that way. It's just right that it be that way. Because we're making a statement that I would rather be looked down on and be different in this world. I'd rather be peculiar. I'd rather be strange because I fear God. I would rather please God than please man. I'd rather have His approval on me than your approval. Hopefully your approval is the same as His approval. But there's most of the world it's not that way. And they look at us as strange and different and all these things. And it would be better to be that way in fear of the Lord. And just to think that now, here's all these people. They're looking at me kind of strange and peculiar. But there's one that designed the whole thing that's got a smile on his face. Doesn't that change your perception of the whole thing? There is one that by the Word of God is proclaiming that He's pleased. He's pleased that you and I would make decisions and that would be based on the fear of God. And that the statement is of who He is. Who is He? He's mighty today. Amen. That's half of it. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Our country's lost a lot of the fear of God. It is hard to believe that what was called a God-fearing nation has committed almost 50 million abortions since Roe versus Wade decision in 1973. That's not the fear of God. That absolutely is not the fear of God. That is horrible. That is deplorable. That is unholy. That is decisions made upon the flesh and the desires of the flesh. Why would somebody do that? Most of them isn't done for any noble. None of them is done for a noble reason. But they do it because career would be hindered. They do it because lifestyles would be hindered and changed. Lord, have mercy. They do it because of the promiscuity that caused it. It's an unholy thing. But God takes pleasure in those that would stand up in the middle of that kind of thing and live right. Yes. Dress right, talk right, walk right. Yes. In the face of it all, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Why do we ultimately trust the Lord? Because I fear Him, that's why. Because I want His pleasure on my life, that's why. The bottom line of what we do is because of fear of the Lord. And I want to please Him. I want to see. I want in my mind's eye to see a great big old smile on God's face, because I decided to do something that went against the grain, and because I done it because I knew that there's a God in heaven. That's why. The fear of the Lord has went into other places that has been lacking in our world. We have. My grandfather would have never imagined the kind of things that's going on in this world today. Our U.S. Senator, Robert Byrd, I believe he's the longest sitting senator now in history. A few years ago, they debated on the Senate floor about same-sex marriage. Robert C. Byrd, which has been considered a very liberal senator from our state, stood up and said that he would hardly could believe that they could even debate such a thing in the United States Senate. He came from a generation where the fear of God was much more prevalent in our land. When Robert C. Byrd dedicated the telescope at Green Bank, which was given his name, Robert C. Byrd, when he dedicated that telescope, he made it known to all the people that was there that was looking out into the space and looking for all the things out there that they're supposedly looking for. He said, and he wanted them to know, whatever you find out there, I want you to know, God made it. because he had the fear of God on him. And I'm not saying that but it meant something in his life. And that's why he made that proclamation that we would even debate something like this in the U.S. Senate. Our world is changing. But you know, God can still be delighted. Because all of the things that men tried to do wasn't what delighted God. God is delighted when people fear Him and look to Him and exalt Him with the statements of their life as He's God. A well-known atheist a couple years ago said, and this was a challenge, I'll leave this statement for your minds, because an atheist said it. They interviewed this well-known atheist. He wrote books and had published many books, million seller, I guess. They asked him about his atheism. And he said of so-called believers, he said, the most compelling thing to me is that people really believe in the God that they claim. He said they wouldn't have to run off to the hospitals all the time. He said God has positively proclaimed Himself healer and helper to these people. If He exists and He is what they say He is, they ought to have faith in Him. I'll leave it to you. He said that wasn't my words. I'm just going to leave it to what this man's mind was. But I'm going to say this. The fear of God will take you a long ways. I want to see God pleased with my life. The other part of this scripture says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there is a side to God. What would we do without it? God is absolutely delighted when people hope in His mercy. When they recognize God for who He is. You remember the time when Moses, the Lord come to Moses and told him to go out and speak to the rock? And Moses went out and the people had, challenged Moses. And when he come out, he had a mind that they were a stiff-necked and rebellious people, and God said, speak to the rock. And Moses struck the rock. You know what what was the wrong with that? Now, one other time he told him to strike it, and he struck it. This time he told him to speak to it, and Moses struck it. The problem with that is that Moses misrepresented God. God wasn't angry with them. He was merciful to them. He wanted Moses to speak His mercy. Show who God is. You know, when we accept and acknowledge God's mercy to us, we're saying who God is. I want to tell you, I would rather put my mercy in God. You remember the time that the prophet came to David and said, David, you're going to get some punishment here. We can do this, this, or this. What do you want to do? What do you want? David said, you choose, Lord. I'm going to fall on your mercy. You go ahead and do it. You know that's God. Brother Larry preached the message. I heard him preach of it a couple of times about his brother. And I remember him saying, that scoundrel, he wasn't no good in his life. He mistreated his family, wouldn't take care of him. Said there was a time he said, I hated that man for all that he had done, and come down to the end of his life, and the Lord had mercy on him. I would have never, he said, I'd have never had mercy on that man. But God did. And do you know what God did when that filthy, dirty man turned his heart to God? God smiled. God smiled because there was a man that said with his life, God is loving and God is merciful. And God will take care of you when you turn to Him. You're lifting God up for who He is. Folks, I wanted to tell you, if you've ever made a mistake or you've ever felt error, today you find yourself in a place that God isn't pleased with, you know there's a God that you can show, you can delight Him today. You could make the great God of heaven smile. I tell you, I think that every time that an old sinner turns to God, he smiles. Because there's a man that just lifted up God more than anything else can lift him up. Lift him up for who he is. Here is a merciful, loving God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the one that we lift up and So, by this great mercy. Now, this is the way it works. Do you know that when you and I won't forgive, we're really doing God an injustice? Because we're representing Him. It's just like Him saying, go out there and speak to the rock. What did He want Him to do? He wanted Him to go out there and show Him God's feelings towards the people. He was the go-between. Moses was a representative of God. Go out there and show them you're going to speak things with your life. Moses, you always do. Go out there and show them my heart. Show them my mind. Speak to the rock. Go out there and say, rock, bring forth water for the people. And he went out there angry. God wasn't angry. God wasn't angry. And when you and I won't forgive people claiming His name, we're saying God won't. You really mean God won't forgive them? You really think God won't? I'm going to tell you, when somebody that's done God so wrong turns to Him and say, because of your great mercy, that's who you are. The faith that they had in them. When he turns to that, I think God smiles from ear to ear. I think that shows who He is. And what hope does man have but to understand and know who God is? That we might know Him and the power of His resurrection. What does it do for our life? It ultimately changes us everything. I see an ultimate change in my life. I'm different than I used to be. I don't do the things I used to be. I want to see God glorified and lifted up. Therefore, I speak with my life the things that I do. I don't look to the things that men look to. I can't glorify God if I had the capability to build a $20 million chapel here on this property. It wouldn't bring glory to God. It would in men's eyes. It would be an awesome. No doubt people would purposely drive by here just to see it. But it wouldn't say who God is. It wouldn't tell what He really is and what He really believes. The Bible says God is love. So God is so much is a part of love that He said He is love. Love itself is God. If you don't love, you don't have God. So when we demonstrate these things, the fear of God on our lives, and make decisions by fear and the hope of mercy, those two things cause God to be delighted. I sure would like to think that in my life I could make God delighted. There was a man in the Scripture, Enoch, wasn't it? That he said that he pleased God. Now what happened? He so pleased God that instead of him dying, God just translated him out with a big smile on his face. Here is somebody that just pleases me. They please me so much, I want them just to be with me. I'll just come and get them and take them with me. Not even have to go through the normal things that people do. I think of old Noah. Here's old Noah. Boy, I want to tell you, talk about standing alone. Oh my, here's old Noah. Out there, and when the Lord comes along, and he's still down through the ages of the lineages, here comes Noah on the righteous side, and somehow it had stuck into this man, and he had believed in God, and had made sacrifice, and was doing all that he knew, and for his day, his heart was perfect towards God. And God come down to him and said, won't you build me a boat? I'm going to flood this place. Now I'm going to tell you, that would be a job. Not just building the boat, but for all those years. Do you know how ridiculous that must have looked to the natural eye? How ridiculous that must have. And here was a man that wanted to please God. And he obeyed the Lord. Had the fear of God on him. And he built, and the Scripture in the New Testament said that he built an ark to the saving of his family. To the saving of his children and his wife. He built that ark and saved them. They become the heirs. They become the ones that brought back the human population. But he pleased God. God looked down and would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And he made a plan with that. And if it hadn't been for Noah, he'd have wrapped the whole thing up. But he looked down, and there was Noah. And Noah was willing to go through all of the shame of it, the reproach of it, all that it took, and what did he do it for? He feared God. He feared God, and I want to tell you, I believe there was only eight, but there could have been a whole bunch of them because of God's mercy. God had mercy. God's a merciful God. Follow the pattern of people, and look at old Job, for instance. Here was a man, my understanding of the time that he lived in, he also had somehow come through at a time, and he was a man that was a righteous man. He had still believed in God. Many other gods and all this had been set up, but he was still a believer in the true God. Now, the Lord, devil comes along, and you remember the story, but he comes along and makes a challenge there, and so the Lord allows the devil, Satan, to have certain places into his life, and it comes down to the point that looks like that everything that Job had was taken away from him. All the proof is gone. Lord's been blessing you, but now it's gone. Now people start coming in, friends and those kind of things, come in and said you was blessed while you were living right, and now you're living wrong, and now you're not blessed anymore, so here's proof of it. You've sinned, you've done something wrong, something's wrong with you. All those things, and he had to do that. But I love that scripture where old Job says, naked I come into the world, naked I'll leave. Dust I was, dust I'll be again. But blessed be the name of the Lord. You can't change it. Folks, don't let the exteriors change it. Don't be awed by the great things of this world. Don't try to please God with the exterior things. God didn't please with all those things. But here was a man sitting one time in sackcloth and ashes with boils from head to his toe of his feet, sitting there in the ashes. But he still believed there was a God in heaven. He still had the fear of God on him. I think God must have smiled a little bit on old Job. Sure he did. The end of Job was better than the beginning. And he even had to give him a little counsel there in the middle of it. You know, things like, if I was hungry, would I ask you for food? Where was you when I stretched forth this thing, Job? How do you feel about all this stuff now? You think I'm not God yet? Yeah, you're God. You're still God. There's still a God in heaven for you and I. Down here in 2009, and the whole, it seemed like so many turning away from God, any kind of righteous living, holiness is almost never heard of out in this world. The idea that there's value in it is almost gone. But God's still holy. He expects us to live holy too. And if you and I want to please the Lord today, there's things that God, I believe today, because of the fear of God that we do. It's what motivates us to do it. I think God smiles on these things. You know what I think God smiles on? He said a broken spirit and a contrite heart, he had never despised. I think that when we come to that humble place of need, I think God smiles. Because we turn that point, I've remembered so many times in my experience with the Lord that I just got down to, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was so broken of spirit and contrite of heart, and you know I never went away disappointed. Never have. I'd go and seek the Lord, and I'm telling you, the Lord would flood down upon me. Oh, I'm saying there's a place there when we humble ourselves before God and recognize Him for who He is. He smiles. He's so glad to see us in that place. You know what it's saying? It's saying that us poor needy humans need a God like you. It's lifting us up. You know, as a father, it's always been kind of a nice thing to hear my children compliment me. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not a private thing. I'll just tell you, it's just the truth. It's important to me. I want them to feel that way about me. Don't you want to feel that way about it? I'd rather them feel that way. I'd rather them be able to come and say, what happens when, and I ain't saying I've been perfect at it or even good at it, but I'd whole lot rather see, I don't like the times I go looking around and all of a sudden I see something of mine broke, hid in the corner and has some things thrown over it. And I don't know how it got there. It'd be a whole lot better if my children could understand that I'm a merciful Father. And if mistakes and those kind of things happen, that they could come and say, Dad, I broke your fishing pole. Dad, I broke the axe handle. Dad, this is what I broke these things. Why? Because that's I want them by the actions of their life to be able to come and say, I know there's forgiveness here, Father. You've been so good to me. You know God smiles when we have our little things and we come back and we say, Lord, I'm trusting in your mercy. I made a mistake here. I just spoke to somebody the way I shouldn't have spoke to them. I'm going to say I'm sorry to them. And Lord, I'm saying I'm sorry to you. Would you forgive me? I think the Lord smiles a great big. He's got it right. He knows my character. He knows who I am. A good man falls 7 times and he rises again. Why? Because he's got a Father. That's why. You can come back again and again. If you have hope in His mercy, He'll smile at it again. He's that merciful. We want to raise it up that we can proclaim. I want to be able to proclaim to those that are in the world, Brother, the Lord will forgive you. Yes, He will. You come to Him with a true heart, a broken and a contrite heart, and you believe in your heart and God will forgive you. Because He's a forgiving God. But God's pleased at that. Almost, you find yourself weak. You find yourself failure. Don't run from God. Proclaim Him for who He is. He's a merciful God. I think God is also pleased when family comes together before Him. When they kneel themselves down before God, when willing to show the family around, willing to show those that are around, God's important to me. I think God's pleased when you're out in that public place and you bow your head when nobody else does and you offer that little bit of thanksgiving to the Lord and mean it with your heart. I don't care who's around, Lord. I'm thankful today. I appreciate this, Lord. I think God just gets a big smile on His face and says, they fear me. They'd rather fear me than all these things. I think God is greatly touched when a devout child of His goes to Him in prayer. Oh, and that devotion. And that devotion that we make. Oh, I want to tell you today. Have your devotions. You're stating something with your life. You really are. You're stating that I can't, Lord, go today without you. You know, the truth of it is you might make it through today without praying. You may make it through the day. Many people do. I'm not going to say that the end of the road's for you today, but I'm going to tell you what God does when we have that kind of devotion. I think God's delighted. I think He smiles. I think He's so pleased. Here is someone that really recognizes that the breath that they breathe is given of me. I think they really realize today that if I wanted to, I could call them out of there and in a moment. And if I wanted to withhold the rain from them, I could do it. If I wanted to blow on their crops, I could do that too. I could blow on all that you had. And you know, I'm getting along pretty good and I'm saving some money. You know, God could blow on that and you wouldn't have a thing. These hurricanes come up through you, you wouldn't even have a house. And if you had money in the bank, He'd blow the bank away. You can come away with nothing. I'm going to tell you, you got money? If the economy gets bad enough, money ain't going to be worth nothing anyway. You know, a lot of things that can happen. And when we go to God daily, regularly, hourly, 3 times, whatever you do, it says to the Lord, Lord, I ain't putting my confidence in all those things. My confidence is in the great God of heaven. And I believe today that God is able to help you and I with every problem we have. Men put their confidences in all kinds of things. Some people like big buildings. Other people get fascinated by old cars. I've liked old car shows. But you know, there's people who are just fascinated by that and they're so delighted by that. You know, God ain't delighted in that either. No. Some people think, in the internet, great invention. God ain't impressed by that. God don't need no internet to communicate people. And God don't need that to try to dig up something that He don't know. God knows everything. He already got it all. He ain't impressed with all that. You want to impress God? You ain't going to get smart enough to impress Him. You're not going to get muscles enough to impress Him. You're not going to build or do anything enough to impress Him. But you can fear Him. If you'll fear God and hope in His mercy, Because the bottom line of it, folks, this is the way it is. We live and work for the Lord, but the bottom line of it, if we make heaven, it's going to be because of God's mercy. And we'll be able to claim nothing else. Amen. Nothing else can be claimed but His mercy. And so as we go, let's represent God for all He is. The fear of God should cause us to live tight lives. I ain't putting anybody in bondage. It's the desire of a heart to please God. To please God. The fear of God ought to make me to be careful about where I go and what I do and what touches. I'll be honest with you, I'm not smart enough to know what even influences my life. Are you? Are you smart enough to know what's going to influence your life and how it's going to affect you? I'm not smart enough to know it. I get through by a loop just every other day, it seems like, of things coming. And all of a sudden, I think I have a hold on something. All of a sudden, I've got emotions that I didn't know I'd have. So we've been praying for Brother Jim. I'm going to be honest with you. My emotions is kind of thrown for a loop with this thing. Brother Jim has been one of my dearest friends. He has been a mentor to me and a help to me, and now I'm seeing him weaken, and I'm starting to have emotions that I didn't even know about. I never knew I'd have them. And I'm starting to feel things and think things. Well, it's a burden of my heart and all that. You know what I'm going to acknowledge to you? I need God to help me. I need God to help me. And so I'm going to go ahead and proclaim it. I need God to help me. Because if God don't help me, I don't know how it'll affect me. Well, I'm living for the Lord and I got everything right and I on the way. The Scripture says, if you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. That Scripture was talking about mature Christians that had fought the battles, fought the fights. That's what that was talking about. It was talking about them that had been in the warfare and had been there and had good reason to think they stand. But if you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall, because we always have to remember our need of God, the fear of God on our hearts, and the love and hope of His mercy in our lives. So you pray for me. I want to be faithful.